Greg Ruberg is on the phone with us from Lakeview Hospital. Thank you so much for calling in, Greg.
Good morning.
Good morning. We have had a little hiatus from our weekly updates. I know you've been talking with Leo over the summer, and now it sounds like we're going to work on maybe a bi-weekly update for a while. But let's talk a little bit about, we have to return to our original topics. COVID is our concern. Start with the vaccine updates. How about?
All right. Yeah, we had about 3 or 4 weeks of a focus on things other than COVID, but as we were afraid of, it is now back, and it's kind of the primary topic of our conversations here, both internally and across the state. So in terms of vaccination, we did a vaccine clinic last week at Lakeview. We vaccinated another 92 individuals, 12 plus, with Pfizer, and that actually pushed us over the 70% vaccinated mark for Lake County of those 12 plus. So that was a nice milestone to hit. There was certainly strong demand. We were hoping for 30 to 40, and we over doubled that. So we're planning additional vaccine clinics coming up, with the next one being September 1st.
Okay. Now, obviously, 70% is not a magic number, because herd immunity is, and nor is herd immunity sort of a cut and dried thing, I guess, because here we are at 70% and we're still talking about this as something that is not under control. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's exactly accurate. What we had thought early on in this, we were being told by our national health experts, CDC, others, that 70% was that mark for herd immunity. Then it shifted to 80%. And now, because of the Delta variant and some other variables, you know, we're looking at more upwards of 85-90%. So we've got a ways to go. And the Delta variant is what we're hoping did not come around. And it's just really changed things both, you know, locally, regionally, and across the country.
Good. Well, let's talk about sort of specific to our area, Lake County, and our awareness of what, you know, what is our situation here? I know that we, I'm sure schools are talking and businesses are talking again. And what relevant information can you give us about that?
Yeah, there's been a lot of activity here in Lake County around COVID over the last probably 3 weeks, I would say. And it started with the CDC report that we were a red county, which means high transmission. And I'll explain a little bit of this, but it gets really detailed and complex and confusing. But really what it comes down to is your positivity rate per 100,000 people. And so when you look at Lake County having a population of about 10,600, you take the amount of positive cases per that population into a multiplier, which is 9.4 something, to get to that, you know, that 100,000. And you look at that positivity rate to see if it's, you know, highly transmissible or not. The good news is, as of yesterday, and again, there's always data lagging on this, so it's it just takes some time to catch up, but we just dropped just below 5% again, which is excellent. To put things in perspective, at least in my head, what I look at is, if you look at having a county of, you know, 70% of the counties vaccinated, we're relatively spread out. We don't have mass transportation to the extent that, you know, of course, big cities and others do.
Right.
It doesn't take a whole lot of cases for us using that CDC formula to kind of bump into that red, which gets people really kind of on high alert.
Yeah.
It's still significant, no question. But, I mean, around 5%, that we were cheering to be down around 5% last winter, or fall and winter. So,
right.
Again, we need to really keep that in perspective and keep doing the right things to prevent it. But it's not like things are out of control in Lake County. They, you know, so
yeah.
I need a different perspective on it.
Yeah. We actually looked at the numbers as well, just sort of the population numbers, and notice the same thing that you did, is it doesn't take very many numbers for us to go into the red, just because of our highly rural, just the location we're in. And it wasn't like we all knew people who were having a terrible time with COVID at the time that we were in high alert. We didn't. I know there are other people that, you know, obviously it's just a matter of, you know, how much you are aware is who you know sometimes. So
right. I've also encouraged people to go right onto the CDC website and read the footnotes. I mean, it gets to be a lot of specific information, but, you know, they don't take into account county vaccination rates and all those other factors, where if you're in Arkansas where it's 35% vaccinated and you have a positivity rate that starts increasing, I would agree that should be a red state, because the potential for really exploding is a lot higher. I mean, we know vaccinations work, and
yeah.
So having 70% of your population vaccinated has a big impact on that. Not perfect, but it has a positive impact.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm guessing with your with a high rate of people coming in to your last clinic, that maybe just indicates that more and more people are sort of freely deciding that this is something that they want to do for their reasons.
Yeah, I would agree. A couple of comments around that. I work that clinic in that evening, and, you know, I was talking, I probably talked to 40 or 50 people, I suppose, throughout the 3 hours, but People said, I heard from a number of people, this is kind of scary now. I mean, I'm watching the news, I'm listening to the radio, and younger people are getting sick. And, you know, primarily the population that came in were, you know, the younger population. There was a number of school-age kids and kind of young adult, middle-aged people. A few people that were in the high-risk group, of course, that had not yet been vaccinated. But when people start seeing on the news that 40- and 50-year-olds are ending up in hospitals and ICU beds or kids, I think it changes your perspective on COVID-19. And they said, it was time to get this thing. I'm not waiting any longer. I got the sense, had it been just the COVID virus before, when it was running its course, that they probably wouldn't have been in here. But the Delta variant may have kind of pushed them over that point of decision-making. So that was interesting to hear.
Yeah. And now it sounds like there is a new mandate for vaccinations in long-term care with the workforce. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this has been the hot topic. And actually, I was in a meeting this morning and got text messages and phone calls throughout. I'm on the Hospital Association Board in Minnesota, and so we've got this is kind of our primary topic. So what happened in the last couple of weeks to a month is many large health systems across the state went to a vaccine requirement. So all employees, volunteers, and students would have to get vaccinated to remain employed. And so Essentia and Duluth did that. St. Luke's and Duluth did it, which we're a part of, so that applied to Lakeview. So it started in hospitals and health systems, the larger systems typically, but not all. And then just this week, President Biden came out and announced this mandate for all long-term care. And what I read that the other night. What it said is all staff of long-term care, so skilled nursing facilities and long-term care facilities, have to be vaccinated or risk reimbursement from CMS, which is Medicare, their primary funding source, any kind of governmental payment. So basically, if they don't adopt that, they're not going to get paid and they're going to close. I mean, that's the bottom line. They can't stay open without it. So that came out. And I think the big issue, the same thing that we had discussions in healthcare about is, you know, I think the vast majority of healthcare people are pro-vaccine and, you know, are vaccinated and support it. The challenge is on the workforce side. So in hospitals or healthcare, we're going to lose a percentage of our workforce that just choose not to be vaccinated or don't apply for an exemption, either medical or religious.
Okay.
And so we'll have to figure that out to keep our operations moving forward. But then when you add in long-term care, it's the same thing. I think they have a little bit higher percentage of unvaccinated, kind of in general.
Yeah.
And there are some positions in long-term care that they could just leave the field and go work in some other type of industry. Where in healthcare, if you're a registered nurse or a rad tech or a lab tech or a physician, there aren't any other industries that you probably can go into to get away from the vaccine requirement. So, but if you're in housekeeping or food service or certified nursing assistant, things like that, you could go work in somewhat similar industries. So the risk is, what happens if there's a big workforce shift out of long-term care and healthcare? That'll impact hospitals, ERs, surgery. I mean, it'll impact everybody. We're all in this together.
Right.
So, but on the flip side, again, people are saying, well, the staff should be vaccinated to protect the residents. The residents have a right to be protected from COVID. You know, hopefully they're vaccinated. So it's like any complex problem. Hmm. There's no easy answer. I mean, no matter how you look at this, there is no right answer or easy answer.
And you do make it sound like there is a possibility for an exemption. So if someone really feels like they're particular situation warrants an exemption, they can apply for that. That's encouraging to know.
Correct. Yep, there's really two routes that way, so that will be helpful. And that's the same kind of process we've used for influenza in the past. You know, if people have a true medical contraindication to a vaccine, we're not going to force them to get that and have a negative medical or health outcome, so they can apply for that with support from their physician or provider. So that's in place.
Yeah. Well, Greg, once again, you're in the middle of plenty of probably controversy, even as there's a lot of good trends and hopefully positivity as well happening in the hospital and other medical places. Would you say the atmosphere is helpful and positive, or is there a lot of tension, or how are things going sort of inside as an insider right now?
Yeah, you know, I would say up until this week, things were fairly stable. People were working hard. The demands are high. Patient volumes are up. You know, I think right now, this week, with all of the mandate to long-term care and the information on boosters and all the controversy between the Biden administration and the CDC and kind of leading experts around the country not agreeing on exactly are boosters needed and if they are, when and all that, I think there's some anxiety around just a lot of information and not a lot of consistency or clarity.
Yeah.
And this goes back, we've been through this many times before, so I wouldn't say it's, we've done it before, we know how to navigate this, we're fine, but it's just trying to get accurate, clear, honest information out to people so they can read it and understand it, and then as it changes, we update it. So that, that's always the challenge.
Yeah, yep, just rolling with it. I had a conversation with Taylor Holm this morning from Community Partners, and she definitely said the number one quality we need right now is just the ability to adapt and flex, because things just keep changing.
Right. And there's some people, you know, I was on a phone call yesterday where somebody was really heated and really emotional, and I completely understand how and why, and we just, you know, you talk through that and you try to see both sides, and this was regarding an issue, kind of a state-level issue, and had different opinions, and that's healthy. You know, we get through that, and we've done it, like I say, we've done it before, and it's just part of being in these roles.
Yep. Well, thank you so much, Greg. We will touch base again in a couple weeks.
Perfect. Have a great day and have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. That's Greg Ruberg, CEO of the Lakeview Clinic and Hospital.